Praise the Lord. We have hope in Christ today. Amen. And we can have all sorts of things go wrong in life, but I'll tell you what, we can have assurance every time we get down on our face before God with needs, with the discouragements, with the hardships of life. And we know this, there is hope. Amen. And no matter where you are in life, God offers hope through His Son. And I hope you know that this morning. And if you don't, I pray that you leave here knowing that this morning in our Savior Jesus Christ. I've entitled this morning's sermon, if you find Genesis in chapter number 39, Genesis in chapter number 39, I've entitled it this, Life's Not Fair, But God Has a Plan. Life's not fair, but God has a plan. And all through life, it's something that most people need to learn is that life's just not fair. That's just a reality of life. You deal with teenagers, and teenagers think everything in life has to be fair. I mean, this isn't fair, and that's not fair, and we're really good. And most of us, listen to me, we never grow out of that teenage mentality. We never do, because we're looking around comparing what somebody else got, what somebody else didn't get. We're looking at all the different circumstances around us, and our estimation is that man, we've been treated unjustly, we've been treated unfairly. Well, we can look in the life of Joseph, and we can see that Joseph had some times where he was treated unfairly. Very unjustly. But at the same time, we don't see him griping and moaning about it like a teenager. Amen. Stand if you would, and we're going to read several verses here in Genesis in chapter 39. We preached the first six verses here this last week. I want to begin in verse 7, and we'll read down toward the end of the chapter. It says this in verse number 7, and it came to pass after these things. And remember, we talked about that just snapshot in Joseph's life, where, man, if we just looked at that, those little six verses that started the chapter, we say, man, Joseph never had any bad things in his life at all. Joseph had a great life. I mean, talk about being born with a silver spoon in your mouth, those first six verses. But it came to pass after these things that the master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph and said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wrought not what is with me in the house, and hath committed all things that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against my master? No, sin against God. That's who he knew he represented. In verse 10, it came to pass as she spake to Joseph, day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her, to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went unto the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by the garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she came unto the men of the house and spake unto them, saying, see, he hath brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us. And he came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until the Lord came home. His Lord came home, and she spake unto him according to these words, saying, the Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when his master heard these words of his wife, when she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just thank you so much for your love and for your goodness, for your grace upon us. And Lord, we just ask that you just would, Lord, by your Spirit, speak to us this morning. And God, I know for sure I have very little to offer. Lord, Lord, I need you this morning, and I need to hear from you this morning. I pray that, Lord God, you just use me, and Lord God, that we would be able to leave here having heard from heaven. And Lord, I pray that you just help us, that we would, Lord, humble ourselves this morning, that your word might make an entrance. And God, that we would, Lord, always, Lord, remember, Lord God, that you are good, that you have everything under control. And God, you know exactly where we're at. You know exactly where you're leading. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Again, here we see Joseph once again finding himself in a situation where he is being unjustly treated. An unfair treatment is falling upon him, just as it did from his brethren, as we looked at last week and we discussed at length last week. And Joseph did not live on easy street. Joseph did not have a hard life. But we discussed this last week, how every one of us have a past. And certainly Joseph had a past. And Joseph had some things in his life that he was going to have to overcome. And we said last week, we're not trying to be a motivational speaker, but the reality is Joseph had to overcome some things of his past, and the things that he overcame in his past helped prepare him for the things that he was going to see in the future. If God can overcome what's in the past, God definitely can take care of what's in your future. And while he did have a past, we understand that no challenge that Joseph faced and no challenge that you and I face is going to be too big for God. There's no challenge that we have in our life that's too big for God. And when we consider Joseph's past, and it's amazing more, even more, as we read through the story today, Joseph grew up in the home of a whoremonger. I'm being very literal today. His father was given to his flesh in that way, and overwhelmingly, that he would not keep things like that from his flesh. And you remember how he got, God had given him a wife, and that wasn't the wife he wanted, so he got himself another wife. And then when those wives weren't loved the way they wanted to be loved by a man who didn't know how to love, really, in Jacob, they thought just by bearing children that was going to be what was going to get love. And that's where Joseph was showing the honor. And so you remember Rachel says, listen, take my handmaid Bilha and go in unto her and have a child. And Joseph, being a strong-willed, I mean, just man of God, just said, well, okay, honey, if that's what you want me to do, I'll just go ahead and do that. And then Leah saw that Rachel was having children by Bilha, and so she came up with the idea that I can send for Zilpah, my handmaid, in, and he can go in and have children for me by her. And again, Joseph, being a strong, moral man, full of morality, said, I don't know if I can do that, but okay, I will. And listen to me, that's the father Joseph had. That's the man Jacob was, is he didn't hold back anything from his flesh that his flesh desired. He was going to be given to those things, and parents were riddled with jealousy and rage towards one another. And I don't have time to go back and preach the previous chapters, but you can go back and read it. I mean, there were Rachel and Leah were just very jealous of each other all the time, and it was all brought upon by Jacob and his unwillingness to be satisfied with what God had allowed him to have. And parents looked for ways to spite one another, and then the children looked for ways to spite one another and to get back and get what they wanted from the parents. It was just a chaotic home. That's what Joseph grew up in. I'm not exaggerating that at all. He grew up in a chaotic home where there was immorality and there was injustice. Joseph's brothers hated him. They spake unpeaceably to him. They envied him. They conspired to kill him. They mocked him. They left him for dead. They profited off of him when they sold him into slavery. They wanted to his existence to be completely wiped out and forgotten. That's the home Jacob grew up in, the home that Jacob had created, the home that Joseph had grown up in. I mean, it was a tumultuous place for a person to grow up. But the first 17 years of Joseph's life, that's the example that he saw. That's the example his brothers saw, and that's how they acted towards one another. And this was the way Joseph grew up. And by the time we get here to chapter 39, it sure looks that things were going to the right direction. While he was a slave, yet he was lifted up to a place of power and prosperity. It says in verse number 2, he was a prosperous man. It talks about how he found grace in the sight of his master, and he made him the overseer of his house. And then Joseph's own testimony that we read as he talks to Potiphar's wife, he said, listen, I have great control. I have everything I can possibly want. There's nothing that I can't have that I desire except for you. Joseph, while he grew up with gross immorality that was all around him, somehow, because the Lord was with him, was able to be a moral man. Listen to me, just because your past, you had folks that were immoral, and you had folks that were carousing, and you had things in your past, and you have people in your past, and relatives in your past, and parents in your past, and brothers and sisters that could not control themselves. Listen to me, don't for one second think that means that you can't control yourself. And that gives you some excuse to go out and live how you want. Joseph could have very easily been given to his flesh if he desired to be given here to his flesh. But Joseph understood that it wasn't about what he wanted. Joseph learned a lesson that Jacob would never teach himself. It wasn't about what he wanted. It wasn't about what he could get out of the situation. It wasn't about what he could manipulate to get what he desired out of life. No. He was submitted unto God. Surrendered unto God, and he yielded unto God, and he allowed God to be in control, and he made very plain in verse number 9, I cannot do this wickedness and sin against God. As we get to chapter number 39, it sure looked like he had things going the right way. We could say it this way. He had health, wealth, and prosperity. That's what he had here in Potiphar's house. He had all of those things. And some religious crowds of today would say, well, he must have finally gotten right with God. And the blessings of God are now upon his life in those first 6 verses we looked at yesterday. But may I say this today, that you can't just look at someone's life in the present and you can't just determine, well, I know what's wrong with their life. They're obviously right with God. I know what's going on in their life. They're obviously, I'm looking and I'm judging for myself. Come on, we don't have a right to do that. I'm judging for myself. And I can tell that they're obviously not walking with God. I'm telling you, we can point to life after life of people that aren't walking with God, and we can stop and scratch our head and wonder, why in the world is the fire of heaven not falling down upon their head? Well, because God is long-suffering. Amen. He's gracious. God's not a God of vengeance. He's not angry. He's not mean and spiteful and vengeful. He's a loving, caring, heavenly Father. Understand, if he was looking up in heaven to bring fire down and breathe fire down upon all those who were walking unjustly, all of us would be little piles of dirt on the ground. Come on. All of us would be. He's a loving heavenly Father. So we can no more do that, look at someone we know is living in the world, we know is living contrary to the ways of God, than we can to someone who claims to know God, look at their life and say, well, I know why they're in this predicament. I know why they're having health problems. I know why they're having money problems. I know. You don't know. You have no way in the world of knowing. Because guess what? You're not God. God hasn't shared everybody else's sins with you. Amen. Come on, I don't know what's on your heart and in your mind anymore than you know on mine. And sometimes we can get very judgmental around the people of God and think that we know. And some crowd would look at the text that we just read this morning and say, well, God's judgment for his sin. So obviously there must be some sin in Joseph's life that he's found himself in this predicament. Joseph's obviously done something to deserve the judgment, judging hand of God upon him. Certainly every one of us, come on, every one of us have done something to deserve the judging hand of God upon us. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not one individual in here that would stand here and go, why? God has judged me unjustly. No, absolutely. If you have the judgment of God in your life, if that's truly what you have, you've earned it. The wages of sin is death. So listen, if you're suffering something short of death in the judgment of God this morning, that's what we call mercy. Come on. That's what we call mercy. And so not one of us can claim that we would be out of it. But at the same time, we can't judge whether somebody's in it or not. It's not my business. Not my business. You realize if I see someone who's going through a difficult time, it's not my job to sit around and try to determine what's caused it and what their problem is. I probably need to get my eyes on myself and realize I got enough problems to deal with all by my lonesome. I've created enough problems in my own life. And when I get myself figured out, then I might have opportunity to figure you out too. Yeah. Amen, preacher. That's good preaching. It's great preaching. Praise the Lord for that. Yeah. When I get me figured out, then I can go around and try to get you straightened out. That doesn't mean we can't stand and say, listen, this is right and that's wrong. There are definite rights and wrongs in the Word of God. Doesn't mean that we don't preach against sin. There's definite things that we look in the Word of God and find our sin. But it does mean this, that instead of looking around and judging everybody because I can see all their sins, I judge my sin. No, I take care of me. And I make sure I'm right. And then I don't go around trying to judge other people. I pray for those who I see have need.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, amen. It's good preaching anyway. This world would read our text this morning and say, well, preacher, that's just not fair. That's not fair. What's taking place in Joseph's life, if that is what took place, that he was just serving and he was doing what he was supposed to do and trusting God and obeying God, and yet this still took place in his life, it's not fair. And he can't seem to just catch a break, this Joseph character. He just has one problem after another. He has no luck at all. I mean, he's the most unlucky man alive. I mean, that would be Joseph. I'm talking about from this world. The judgment was about Christianity, looking at Christians. But the world would look at him and just say, he's just flat unlucky. I mean, he's just a mess. And I'm telling you, the world goes through rituals all the time. And here we got October coming up. There are baseball players that won't change their socks between now and the time the World Series is over. I mean, because they're just hoping those lucky socks are going to get them through that next win and get them that next home run. And football season's showing up there. My coach said some of our uniforms could stand up on themselves sometimes when I was in high school, because guys would wear the same shirts to practice every day because, man, there was some kind of luck in that shirt, you know. And I'm telling you, the world does some foolish things and thinks that they're gaining themselves luck. And you heard about the rabbit that was hopping away with 3 feet and said, well, I hope that foot gives that guy a little more luck than it gave me. Amen. Come on, we'll get rabbit's foot, we'll get horseshoes, we'll get have people read our palms and all sorts of stuff, just hoping that we can have some kind of good luck. That's the world's view of circumstances. And this morning, as a Christian, we're not trusting and hoping in luck. We're not up to the fates. I'm not just hoping that, man, I have a lucky roll of the dice today. My friend, I'm trusting in God. And so should you be. We should be trusting in God to sustain us and to meet our needs and to provide for us. And yes, there might be something on the horizon that is not going to be fun or favorable or what we'd expect or desire. But listen to me, whatever the situation, we have a God in whom we can trust, a God in whom we can turn, and a God in whom we can find grace to help in the time of our need. We can find that. Someone might say, well, if God treats me like that, I mean, here Joseph was trusting in God and saying, listen, I can't do this because it would be against God. God wouldn't be for me going into another man's wife and committing this sin. God wouldn't be for me betraying my master in that way and say, well, if he was standing for the Lord and doing right and that's the way God treated him, well, my goodness, I don't want anything to do with God. But I have to stop and I say, well, I wonder how Joseph responded. I mean, that's how a lot of us respond sometimes. Well, I mean, just can't believe God would treat me like this. And it's generally because we have that haughty spirit and haughty attitude that we talked about in Sunday school. And if you weren't here for Sunday school, you missed out right there because you'd know exactly what I was talking about then. Amen. So you should be here for Sunday school at 10 o'clock. And it's generally we have this haughty spirit that we deserve better treatment. And that we shouldn't be treated the way we are. We've been treated unjustly, and we carry that over to God. But listen, look at Joseph. Look at verse number 21. Let's finish on the chapter, just those three verses there. Genesis in chapter 39, look at verse 21. It says, "But the Lord was with Joseph." Amen. He was with Joseph at the beginning of the chapter when he was sold into Potiphar's house. He's now with Joseph in the prison. Showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. And the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And what he did, the Lord made to prosper. We can stop and get all sorts of upset and mad because, man, we were doing right and then we got in trouble. We got thrown into prison. And understand with me, we don't hear about Joseph throwing a hissy fit and kicking and screaming and moaning and groaning about woe is me and God's failed me and God's forgotten me and God doesn't know what he's doing. No, no, no. Joseph just got busy in the prison and God was able to bless him there as well. And God was able to work in Joseph's life there and show him grace there as well, because Joseph just understood that no matter where he's at, God's got a plan. And Joseph, if you will, can I say this, had kind of a win-win personality. He did. He had a win-win personality, that it wasn't about what was going to be best for him in his life. That's not what he was looking about all the time, was what was going to be most profitable for him, what was most favorable to him, what he wanted out of every situation. But Joseph was looking, and he looked at the jailer and said, "Hey, what do you want me to do?" And the jailer said, "I want you to do this." And so Joseph got busy doing it, and Joseph was put in a position in the prison where he was in charge there too. Why? Because he wasn't looking out for him. He was looking out what was best for those who are around him, and he became the one who was actually running things. Because it wasn't just about him. He was looking for what's a win for everybody in this situation. This kind of stinks. Come on. No, come on. Listen, go to prison, get thrown in prison. I'll tell you, it stinks. Whether you belong there or you don't, it stinks. It stinks. And Joseph looked at the situation, well, what's going to be the best thing for everybody? And listen, he brought everybody around him up and he edified everybody around him. Why? Well, because God was with him. Joseph hadn't done anything wrong. That's why many people get upset about these kind of stories. He hadn't done anything wrong. In fact, according to the Word of God, Joseph was doing everything right. He was doing everything right. The Lord was with him in such a way that his master believed everyone else, put everything else and everyone else around him underneath him. He was doing everything right. He was working hard. He was advancing. God was blessing. The Bible says that he was a goodly person and well favored in verse number 6. So why did God allow this to happen to him? Why would God just cause him to have this circumstance and him to be put in this position? Well, God wanted to test his faith. No, come on. God wanted to test his faith. In what was happening with him, faith is going. His faith was being tested, and your faith is going to be tested. What if Joseph had completely fallen apart? Listen, God wasn't going to be able to continue working with him and blessing him if he'd fallen apart. And we've heard this before. It's been said, faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. Faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. And you say, well, I just wish God would come up with another way. Come up with another scenario over testing your faith that is really honestly a test of your faith that isn't hard. Come on. You say, well, I just wish God would. I mean, I wish God would have tested his faith by blessing his socks off and only good things happen. And everywhere he walked, there'd be flowers growing behind him and the sun rays would just shine down upon him. That would be a real test of his faith. No, it wouldn't have been. It wouldn't have been. Listen, the Lord allowed some hardships in his life to prove the faith that he had in God and in faced with circumstances that his fathers would have failed in. Do you hear me? Faced with situations that his father failed in. Joseph succeeded and Joseph was faithful in. and in faith in situations where other men would have just crawled in their cell and just slept and just rolled in there and died because of unjust treatment. Listen, Joseph prospered. Why? Because Joseph had faith in the fact that God knew what he was doing. God was giving him a testimony. And the times when your faith is tried and my faith is tried, you need to realize that what might be taking place is bigger than you. And that might be that God's working out a testimony for your life. God's giving you an opportunity that you might be able to look and you might be able to say to others, listen, God is at work and God was good. And listen, if you know the story of Joseph, there's later going to come a time where he's going to stand before his brethren that started this whole mess out to begin with and said, listen, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. Yeah. And God might just be working, trying your faith to bring you about to a point where you can give a testimony. God is purposeful, my friend. God's purposeful. God knows exactly how where He desires for you to be. God knows exactly how you can bring Him the most glory. God knows exactly how to bring the how to allow the right test in your life of faith. And so listen to me. We can either fail those tests and doubt God and question God and whine and cry, or listen to me. We can bring God glory by trusting and understanding that God is purposeful. We think about the life of Job. Come on, the life of Job. And you stop and you go, man, I just can't believe God would allow all those things to Job. Well, listen to me. Let's stop worrying about Job and worrying about what happens to Job. And let's listen to Job's testimony. In all things, he neither charged God foolishly. He didn't charge God foolishly like many of us do many times. We charge God foolishly about what happens in our lives. We charge God foolishly about what happens in other people's lives. We just charge God foolishly all the time. Because we just think God's our genie in a bottle that's just supposed to be there to bring us good all the time. No. God's bringing about what's best in your life and what's most glorifying to Him for His kingdom and for His glory. How could Joseph keep going amidst adversity? Well, look at verse number 9. Still the same answer as it was last week. It says, there was none greater in thine house, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How can I sin against God and do how can I do this wickedness and sin against God? I'm sorry. That wasn't the verse I was looking for. Verse number 23 says, the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made to prosper. The Lord was with them. Listen. The Lord was with him, and listen, verse number 9, that's where I was reading verse number 9. Verse number 9, Joseph knew the Lord was with him. So I can't do this wickedness and sin against God. Listen, God's the one that's prospering me. God's the one that's allowed me to be where I'm at. God's the only thing I can count on in this life. I certainly can't count on family, but he knew the Lord had blessed him. He knew that God had placed him there. He knew God was in control of this problem. And listen to me, we talked about this last week. Everyone else knew it as well. The jailer was able to look at Joseph's life, and the jailer was able to look at what was going on, and he knew that the Lord was with him. You say, how in the world could Joseph keep going amidst adversity? Because Joseph wasn't alone. There was one greater than Joseph that was pushing Joseph on and was propping Joseph up and was keeping Joseph going. And my friend, listen to me. When we have adversity, when we have trials, we have burdens to bear. We have a God that desires for us to cast them upon Him. We have a God that desires to pull the yoke for us. He desires all those things if we'll remember that He's with us. Well, how did they know that the Lord was with him then? How did they know the Lord was with him and that the Lord was prospering him? Well, the Lord told them. It is God who worketh all things together for good to them that love him and to them that are called according to his purpose, according to Romans 8:28. And I believe God used Joseph's spirit and attitude to convince them that the Lord was with him. I mean, come on, he gets to Potiphar's house and there's something about Joseph that Potiphar sees in him. There's different actions that he has. There's a different work ethic that he has that causes Potiphar to understand that, listen, God's with this. There's something supernatural about this young man. There's something that God's doing in this young man. Listen to me. He was not a worshiper of Jehovah God. We're talking about a pagan man named Potiphar. And he went to the jail, and there we'd find there as well that these would be men that were worshipers of the gods of the Egyptians. They'd be polytheist at best, maybe knowing of Jehovah, but not simply strictly worshiping Jehovah. And listen to me, even there the jailer looked and said, man, the Lord is with him. There's something different. Well, what was it about Joseph? Is it that he had angel wings? Did he have a glow about him? I mean, was he just floating around? He didn't walk like the rest of us or stink like the rest of us? No, no, no. Listen to me. There was something about Joseph that caused him to stand out. And it wasn't something necessarily supernatural that caused him to float above everybody. It was just something about his, it had to be something about his countenance and the way he carried himself and his actions that caused other people to look and go, man, the Lord is with him. The hand of God is upon him. Those who didn't necessarily believe in Almighty Jehovah God could look and know that there's something about this young man that God is with him. You've heard it said before that actions speak louder than words. Thank you for those help. Actions speak louder than words. Someone said this: I can't hear a word you're saying because your actions are too loud. Come on, we can look at that in a negative light. We can. We can look at people and go, listen, the way you're acting, the way you act towards in this world, and the rebellious spirit that you come across in, the anger that you have, the situation. Listen, it speaks so loud, I can't hear a word you're saying. You can talk about Christ all day long, but listen, your work ethic tells us that you're not a very great believer of God. Come on, you can talk about church all day long, but the words that come out of your mouth and the anger that comes out of your mouth and the gossip that comes out of your mouth, listen, it's completely contrary to the message you want me to go listen to at your church. Yeah. Come on, actions speak louder than words. That can be in a negative light. That can also be in a positive light. Come on, as negative as that can be, that can also be very positive. That your boss can look and tell, you know what, they're not like the other workers here. You want somebody that has a good work ethic. You go see that guy that calls himself a Christian that says he goes to Bellingham Baptist Church. That guy's who we're going to put the new guys with because we know that he's going to train him to do his job correctly. He has a work ethic. Everybody else is against the boss. Everybody else is down in the mouth. Everybody else is complaining. And you, man, you listen, and you're the one that has that everybody gets annoyed by because you just always have a smile on your face. What do you have to smile about? Everybody else is mad and angry and upset. What's wrong with you? Well, I know God. I mean, no. I opened the Word of God today and God talked to me and I got to get on my face before Him and I got to talk to Him. And I tell you what, I have a Heavenly Father that loves me. I'm telling you, those things are evident in one's life. They're evident in one's life. We can walk around, we can look at the countenance of people, we can look at the behavior of people, and we can tell a lot about them. I mean, you can just look at somebody's face, and you tell me, what's this? Help me. Angry, mad. Angry or mad? Come on, we can look at the countenance of people, and we can tell some things about them. We look at their face. I was driving, Brother Baird and I were turning the corner over here at James Street the other day as we were coming back to the church for something. And as we turned the corner, there was this guy glaring at his truck. I don't know why he was glaring at us, but here we just turned the corner and we were going about 20 miles an hour. And he's just like looking and staring us down. And I was thinking in my head, like, why is he staring at us? What did we do wrong? And I didn't even say a word. And I looked over at Brother Jeremiah and he said, what in the world's that all about? You know, I mean, we could tell from his countenance, we had obviously done something wrong. We had no clue what. But he wasn't happy about it. Here we have, what's this tell you about me? I mean, goofball, maybe? I mean, but happy. I mean, smiling. And you say, so we got to walk around with a Chester cat grin on our face all day long to show forth the joy of the Lord. And that's not what I'm saying. It's not what I'm saying. But I do want us to understand that when we walk around like we just sucked on a persimmon or we don't have any friends in the world, there are people that walk around like that. I'm telling you, there are people that they want everybody to come up and ask them. They want everybody to come up and ask them, well, what's wrong? Their spirit, their demeanor, everything about them is that they are trying to get people to feel sorry for them, to wonder what's wrong in their life, to wonder what's happened to them, what plight and what disadvantage they have and what trouble they have. I mean, they live for people to come up and to pull that information out of them because they're more than willing to share it and to puke it all over everybody around them. And they have some people that actually have some real problems in life. Has some real circumstances in life that not due to their actions at all, just due to life in general. They have plights in life that are discouraging, that are hard, that are difficult. That are heavy to be borne. You'd never know it. I mean, you would never look at them and go, man, I'll tell you who's carrying a burden in this room. You'd never know it. Well, what would be the difference? Well, somebody can choose to have the joy of the Lord that would govern their spirit and their life, their work ethic, everything they do. And some of us can just choose to allow this flesh to govern everything that we do. And it's going to be evident. It's not about just having a positive mental attitude. There's some things in life that aren't positive. Getting thrown in prison unjustly is not positive. You with me? That's not a obviously Joseph should be happy and have a good countenance. Obviously. Family hates him. Got lied about. Got thrown in jail. Not just in any jail. He's thrown in the Pharaoh's jail. I mean, obviously, Joseph should be a happy dude. Listen. I believe that people around Joseph could see the grace of God on him. And now get this though. The same grace of God that can be upon Joseph's life and that was evident upon Joseph's life can also be evident upon your life. Amen. If you'll choose to be a recipient of the grace of God. Say, well, I am saved. I know Christ as my Savior. That's great. I'm glad you received saving grace. But understand, your Heavenly Father, in all circumstances, desires that He would be able to have a spirit of grace upon you that you would live in. And many times people want to complain about how busy they are and how hard their life is. And probably the people that really have a hard life and are busiest the most are the ones that are willing to actually sit around and just comfort them in their little turmoil, when they've probably had some of the worst things in this world happen to them. Well, what would allow that? The grace of God. The grace of God. Is the Lord with you today? I'm talking about a child. You say, I know that I know that I know that I am saved, that the Spirit of God resides in me, that I have a Heavenly Father, and that I have a home prepared in heaven. I know that without a shadow of a doubt. I'm convinced of it today. I hope you are. I hope you are. I'm telling you, I was 18 years old when I bowed my head before God and called upon Him for salvation. There have been many times where I've had to stop and look to heaven and draw my hope from the source that's always been there ever since. It's been there ever since I bowed my head before Him and got saved. I hope you know that today. I hope you know that the Lord's with you, that you're saved. And if you're saved today, do you look at life and say, life's just not fair, and God's just not fair, and God's unjust, or Christian, if that's you, And I'm telling you, you say, well, what's gonna help me today? You need the grace of God. You need the grace of God. Because, listen, the grace of God will cause us to realize how unworthy we are of anything. You understand it was the grace of God that allows us to have salvation? It was the grace of God that God looked down at a sinful world. He looked down at men. The Bible says in Romans 5:8, while they were yet sinners, Christ died for our sin. And He gave Himself for our sin. And He looked down at a lost world and said, listen, I'm gonna sacrifice for them. I'm going to love them. I'm going to give myself for them. And listen, we were given an opportunity by Christ's sacrifice, by His gospel, by His death, burial, and resurrection to be recipients of grace. We were given that opportunity. And with that opportunity, we get to live in the grace of God. Listen, I can't overcome the circumstances of life. But I'll tell you who can overcome death and hell. Jesus Christ, the giver of grace. I can't forgive some people, but I'll tell you who can. Jesus Christ, the one who forgave all men. I understand with me. I can't handle the way people treat me sometimes. Unjustly and unfairly. I can't handle that. I can get angry and I can get mad. But listen, we have a Heavenly Father up in heaven that looked down at all men and all the treatment and injustice of man and said, listen, I'm going to care about you. I'm going to love you. And I'm still going to go to a cross and I'm going to die for you. Well, how in the world? Because He's a God of grace. And if you're here today and you say, well, yeah, I've been saved, but I just don't know how to handle the circumstances I'm in. I don't know how to understand how to handle the people that are around me. I don't know how to forgive. I don't know how to right the wrongs. Listen to me. Then you need to look to your Heavenly Father, a God of grace, and allow Him to teach you. Yeah. You need to allow Him to teach you how to forgive. You need to allow Him to teach you how to love. You need to allow Him to teach you how that you can make it through difficult circumstances. Joseph, I'm telling you, and the Word of God is a perfect picture of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who brought grace to this world and desires for you to live a life of grace. He's a God that has a plan. He's a God that has a purpose. He's a God that no matter what circumstances might take place, listen, He is able to help us to live above, by His grace, the circumstances of life. Amen. He's able to do that. He's more than capable of doing that. So this morning, I have to ask you, are you in need of the grace of God? Do you have difficulties, struggles, trials, hardships? Maybe there's a face on your mind, a name on your heart right now. Say, man, if it wasn't for them, then everything would be just great in my life. Maybe God's using them in your life to help them be able to see the grace of God on your life. Maybe. And before we get mad at God and upset with God and cross ways with a Heavenly Father that loved us and gave Himself for us, might we see that God has a plan, a purpose, and what He is doing. And not that life is unfair, but that God's purposes and God's ways are far higher and far greater than ours. And we can always trust a God who loved us and gave Himself for us. You can. You say, well, how? Well, the same way He was able to save your soul from hell, forgive you of your sin, was by His grace. And He can do the same thing in your life today. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.